Hey fam, it is Phoenix. We are in the wine cellar. I need to turn up my microphone. I sound like William now, being a decibel nerd. Anyways, how is everyone doing? Of course, we're thinking about Becker Loco. I sound weird saying loco. That is not my vernacular. But we are thinking about Becker in California right now with the fires. Please keep staying on Facebook, making sure that we all know you're okay, you're safe. Let us know if you need anything. We will do what we can for you. I hope everyone else is well. I am enjoying this fall weather. It's rainy. It's cold. It snuck up on me this year. I think I said that yesterday. I'm still adjusting. I wasn't ready. Man. All right. So William obviously is working again. That's why you get me. Only one co-host, half the funny, twice the dry information. But we'll work through it. It is Free Thought Thursday. I asked for some topics. We'll see what folks have come up with and what I can do. In the meantime, there's going to be some news, some headlines. I don't really have a bunch of personal journal updates. I'm really boring, you know? I do have one thing which amuses me. A youngest child had a writing assignment for school, and the writing prompt was, imagine you were a Native American who had just met Columbus when he landed in 1492. How would you feel? And my darling child, wonderful, amazing person that he is, basically wrote a little mini essay about how he would have attacked Columbus and killed Columbus because Columbus was only going to come there and hurt everybody, make them slaves, and steal the gold. So I am kind of waiting to see if I'm going to get a phone call from the teacher or anything like that, or maybe get a note sent home, because it was a, I think I actually took a screen or a picture of his paper so I can read it verbatim. Where did I put that? I have like 5,000 pictures saved on my phone. That's not an exaggeration, like 5,000. That's ridiculous. He said, and I quote, I would feel unsafe. Christopher Columbus has guns and swords. I would attack Christopher Columbus and his crew with a spear so he could not take my family and friends as slaves. I would... Oh man, his handwriting is bad. I would not welcome them and tell everyone else not to welcome them and say that they have weapons and Christopher Columbus is trying to steal our gold. Christopher Columbus is trying to kill us. We can't let him on the island. So, you know, this is how history lessons work in our house. we're honest, maybe brutally so. So, yeah, enjoy. In the meantime, I'm going to queue up some news stories. I'm going to play a show opener. I'm playing an old show opener, actually. Check that out. And then, yeah, we'll see what happens for a free thought conversation topic, depending on what people said in the thread. So, let's do the thing.
Maybe. This show is fucked up. That boy, he used to bomb from BK to the Bronx, and it's the fortune in one. The Black Pack. He moved from LAX to Soho. Few blocks for those who don't know. Down the hall, puts a hole in the wall, bounced out on a rent control. Certified son of a gun. Lives life lesson 101. It's Free Thought Thursday in the Wine Cellar.
My name is Lester Burnham. This is my neighborhood. This is my street. This is my life. I'm 42 years old. In less than a year, I'll be dead. Of course, I don't know that yet. And in a way, I'm dead already. Look at me, jerking off in the shower. This will be the high point of my day. It's all downhill from here.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
They will get up every day, they will kill somebody and go have some chicken at KFC.
I tell you, I think the racist garbage coming from a lot of blacks right now who are just filled with bitterness and rage is just amazing to me. It is racism.
Father Teresa won't let me have a kitten.
You already got a fucking dog.
It's a puppy.
It stinks!
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Yeah, okay.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
That was a fun show opener. We haven't done that one in, like, probably well over a year, so that's kind of exciting. I want to start, when I start doing shows when William's at work, like, one of my goals is to start playing with the soundboard more, so we'll see what happens. It may be a disaster. It might turn out to be really cool. I don't know. All right, so I feel like I have to preemptively apologize because I have not one, but two stories about Trump. And I know how much everybody loves talking about him, but I try to only focus on, like, the really important things with him. Not his, you know, I mean, yeah, I make fun of his typos on Twitter and shit like that. But, you know, when something important is happening, I do want to cover it, even though we seriously dislike Trump and a lot of people are very tired of him. We do need to stay up to date on a couple of things. So, first of all, Trump signed an executive order today, which if you watch the video, it's funny. He almost walked out of the room because he forgot to sign it, and Pence had to remind him, hey, you have to sign this thing. But the executive order is actually quite serious because it is part of dismantling the ACA, otherwise known as Obamacare. So Trump has continued his quest to dismantle the ACA and deny health care to as many Americans as possible. The executive order signed today intends to allow small businesses and potentially individuals to buy a long-disputed type of health insurance that skirts state regulations and Affordable Care Act protections. The White House and allies portray the president's move to expand access across association health plans as wielding administrative powers to accomplish what congressional Republicans have failed to do, tearing down the law's insurance marketplace and letting some Americans buy skimpier coverage at lower prices. The order represents Trump's biggest step so far to carry out his broad but ill-defined directive he issued the first night in office for agencies to lessen ACA regulations from the Obama administration. Critics, who include state insurance commissioners, most of the health industry, and mainstream policy specialists, all predict that a proliferation of health plans will have a damaging ripple effect, driving up costs for consumers who have serious medical conditions and prompting more insurers to flee the law's marketplaces. Part of Trump's action, they say, will spark court challenges over its legality. Trump said that Thursday's move, which will initiate months of regulatory work, is only the beginning. Fucking fantastic. It's always only the beginning with this fucking guy. He promised even more relief and more freedom from ACA rules. I do not fucking understand the GOP. I swear to fucking God, I do not understand the GOP. These are the worst talking points ever. We're going to make you more free. What the fuck does that mean? More relief. What kind of relief? What kind of freedom? Who is falling for these whack-ass talking points? All right. And while leading GOP lawmakers Leading GOP lawmakers are eager to move on from their unsuccessful attempts this year to abolish central facets of the law, he said. We're going to pressure Congress very strongly to finish the repeal and replace of Obamacare. Under the president's order, association health plans will be able to avoid many ACA rules, including the law's benefits requirements, limits on consumers' yearly and lifetime costs, and bans on charging more to customers who have been sick. Seen all those protections in the ACA that allowed people to get health insurance? Yeah, they're fucking gone. Critics warn that young and healthy people who use relatively little insurance will gravitate to those plans because of their lower price tags, leaving older or sicker customers concentrated in ACA marketplaces with spiking rates. So that's what's going on. And of course, you know, you have to remember too, is that not only did he sign this order that basically allows employers and companies to lessen coverage, they also didn't fund CHIP yet, which is basically health insurance for low-income kids. And he's trying to get the, he already signed the executive order to stop allowing businesses to cover birth control if they find it morally objectionable, whatever the fuck that means. So we're talking about no birth control, we're talking about no healthcare for children, and now unaffordable healthcare for people who are older or people who have a history of chronic illness. So we're all gonna die, basically. So that's number one thing to know about what's going on with Trump. He's an asshole. We all hate him. And he's trying to kill us. I think that kind of, sums it up, right? A little bit? Maybe. The second story about Trump, I know, I said there were two. I didn't want to do it either. He has been tweeting vaguely at Puerto Rico, saying that we can't keep FEMA, the military, and first responders there forever, implying that they're ready to come back. So the problem there is that about 10% of the island has electricity right now, and about 70% of the island has access to water, which means almost a third of the population doesn't have water, almost 90% of people don't have electricity, patients are dying in hospitals because they can't get medicine, and the Jones Act, they had a stay on that. The stay is gone, right? So I believe we covered it on an earlier podcast. The Jones Act basically says that anything that is sent to Puerto Rico and other places too has to be sent on a United States-run vessel. So anybody who's bringing foreign aid, like right now, Cuba can't bring ships to Puerto Rico. Jamaica can't bring ships to Puerto Rico. Mexico can't bring ships to Puerto Rico. And those are all places that have offered to bring, you know, food, water, supplies, medicine, and they're not allowed to go to Puerto Rico because of this Jones Act. So at one point, the Tangerine terrorist put a stay on that act so other people could come help, but that has now run out, and they said, the administration has said they're not going to renew it. So FEMA's leaving, and they're not allowed to get outside help, and 90% of the island doesn't have electricity. Yeah. So that is also going on, just to let people be aware, I guess, right? We do need to keep track of these things, as much as we may hate Trump and who he is as a person, because he's a fucking horrible person. But, you know, we gotta cover this shit, man. We do. I know, it sucks. I know.
And I know what you're thinking. You say, Jesus, he's not gonna attack children, is he? Yes, he is.
Ah! Oh no, I hit the wrong button. Alright, well, I went to turn it down because that came in really loud and hit the wrong button, so like I said, I'm just going to be fucking around with the soundboard, man. Alright, meanwhile, a little pop culture, I guess. The whole Harvey Weinstein situation is going on, and one of the people that he harassed was actor Rose McGowan, who I think, if I am remembering correctly, she dated Marilyn Manson for a minute and was in the Scream movie. She was the one who, I think, got killed in the garage. So she said in an Instagram post last night that her Twitter account has been suspended following a tweet in which she accused actor Ben Affleck of prior knowledge of Harvey Weinstein's misconduct, including misconduct towards her. Twitter has suspended me. There are powerful forces at work. Be my voice, McGowan wrote on her Instagram page shortly after midnight. She included a snapshot of a message from Twitter saying she would only be able to send direct messages from her account unless she deletes tweets that violated Twitter rules. And the screenshot announced a temporary freeze that will prevent her from tweeting, retweeting, or liking anything for 12 hours. Unlike a full suspension, this measure leaves her account visible. The message in the screenshot said the lock was in effect because McGowan's account had, quote, violated Twitter rules. It was not clear which tweets had resulted in suspension. However, on Tuesday, after Affleck tweeted that the allegations against Weinstein made him sick, McGowan called him a liar, saying he'd been aware of what Weinstein had been doing for years. McGowan herself reached a settlement with Weinstein in 97 following a hotel room incident at the Sundance Film Festival, and in recent days has been vociferous in her support of women who have stepped forward to reveal the producer has harassed them or worse. She also attacked Hollywood players who failed to criticize Weinstein, writing in a tweet, "You all knew." Twitter declined to comment on the matter, citing privacy and security reasons. So I'd just like to remind y'all that Twitter lets Trump literally be on there. Twitler, the Tangerine Terrorist, Clementine Caligula, Mango Mussolini is legit on there tweeting about obliterating North Korea, tweeting about getting business licenses revoked of news outlets because he doesn't like them, tweeting about trying to get NFL players fired, and he has yet to be suspended. Rose McGowan says, "Hey, Ben Affleck, you're lying. You knew what Weinstein was doing," and she gets suspended. And then, of course, she's only in the news for being suspended because of who she is. There's black folks, black activists, black women who speak out about things constantly and manage to get suspended, right? So I'm beginning to feel like maybe just Twitter is developing the same sort of community standards as fucking Facebook, which really aren't community standards at all. It's protect white male feelings no matter how much, violence, upset, hurt, or trauma it causes because white men feelings, you know. And that's par for the course, really, you know. Twitter execs at one point apologized and were like, "Well, if we got, you know, Twitler elected, we feel really bad about that." And it's like, no, you don't feel bad because you still let him have his account. Because it's good for your publicity, it's good for your brand, and they're probably scared to tell him no, like everybody else. But, so Rose McGowan should be back, I guess, tonight on Twitter. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. This is, everything is happening. It's overwhelming, isn't it? It's fucking overwhelming. All right. What else do I have? Oh, student files lawsuit after being expelled and not standing for Pledge of Allegiance. Let's see. The 17-year-old senior was one of many relatively anonymous people who have followed the lead of former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who knelt during the national anthem in 2016 to protest police violence against black people at Windfern High School. What's her last name? India Landry. And other students were required to stand for the pledge, even if they don't recite it. But for the past 200 or so school days, India told Houston CBS affiliate KHOU she refused to stand for the pledge because it goes against everything I believe in. For months, her act of civil disobedience attracted little fanfare, according to a lawsuit filed by her mother, Kizzy Landry. It's something she's done for years, but it was never a problem till now, says Kizzy. But on October 2nd, she was expelled by school officials who told her, quote, "This ain't the NFL." Man, y'all fucking wildin'. So, West Virginia State Board of Education versus Barnett was a case that happened in 1943 in which the Supreme Court, you know, those people that determine the Constitution, the law of the land, the highest authority of the land, the people who, when they say something, we're supposed to listen to them. The Supreme Court in 1943 struck down a resolution that allowed schools to expel students for refusing to stand for the pledge on the basis that refusing to stand is an act of insubordination. The court disagreed and held the idea that forcing students to stand for the pledge constituted compelled speech and violated the First Amendment. So, you might want to remind everybody who's having a fucking temper tantrum like a goddamn child over this whole take a knee or take a seat or don't stand or have a fist up during the pledge or during the national anthem. The Supreme Court ruled on this in the 40s. Okay? Like, before Brown versus the Board of Education, before the Civil Rights Movement, right? Before, you know what, Roe versus Wade, before some of the most monumental decisions that they have made, they said specifically in 1943, which think about the timeline, 43 is during World War II. During World War II, they said students should not be forced to stand, and that choosing not to stand or kneeling for the pledge or for the national anthem is protected free speech. And I really hope that if someone does get kicked out of the NFL, that they sue the fuck out of the NFL for that shit. It's been decided. So, yeah, next time someone comes up to you and is like, oh, well, that's inappropriate, you might want to remind them that if they love the Constitution and the laws of this land so much, what the actual fucking law is. Not that it'll matter, because they're hypocrites. And they're liars. And they know it's not about the flag or the anthem. They just want... they want the Negroes to do as they're told and stop being uppity. We know that's what it actually is. Damn. Alright. I have a story. I think I'm going to tease a little bit. Just in case. I don't know if we're going to be able to do a show tomorrow. But this is a lot of audio, and I don't have time to cue that up right now. I have to go pick up William soon from work, and I'm exhausted, and I really want to go to bed, and I don't feel good, but, so hopefully, like, we can, I don't know, maybe put up the video later, or tomorrow, or cover it tomorrow, I don't know, but I do kind of want to tease it, just because I think this is one of those stories that everyone should know about. Steve Prater, the sheriff of Caddo Parish in Louisiana, is not a fan of the state's new criminal justice reforms that will free prisoners convicted of non-violent offenses earlier than they have been scheduled to be released. In a press conference, Prater said keeping the good prisoners in jail was necessary for prisons to function because they provide labor you can't get out of more violent prisoners. Quote, the prisoners that you can work... the prisoners you can't tell me this ain't some plantation slavery ass motherfucking bullshit, okay? The prisoners that you can work, the niggers you can work, the ones that can, he didn't actually say niggers, he said prisoners, but he meant niggers in his head, we all know it. He said the ones that can pick up trash, the work release programs, but guess what? Those are the ones they're releasing. In addition to that, in addition to the bad ones, they're releasing some good ones that we use every day. They're releasing the good ones that we use. Think about what he is saying. He is dead ass telling on himself as a white supremacist, as somebody who supports an unfair criminal justice system, as somebody who supports a carceral approach to life, as somebody who supports the idea of keeping black people locked up indefinitely as permanent slave labor. This is what he is saying. And I know people are like, well, technically slavery ended, right? This is why we fucking talk about the 13th Amendment. This is why we fucking talk about how unfair the system is. This is why we talk about differences in sentencing between, you know, white people and black people. This is why we talk about how poor people can't get fair trials. This is why. Because prison is an industry. It is a money-making industry that provides slave labor to corporations, to police, to prison owners. It is a business, and it only exists if you keep people in prison over bullshit, and that's why niggas getting locked up for weed for 25 years. This is what we're talking about. So, I know our listeners get it, right? But now that he's telling on himself, like, this needs to be broadcast out to fucking everyone, everywhere, at all times. Like, look, they told on themselves this is really what they want. They want the good Negroes, the good young bucks, the good field niggers in prison to do manual labor, right? This is what he's saying. And people still gonna fucking argue. Alright. I'm gonna just read this whole fucking paragraph again. This is his direct quote. The prisoners that you can work, the ones that can pick up trash, the work release programs, but guess what? Those are the ones they're releasing. In addition to the bad ones, they're releasing some good ones we use every day to wash cars, change oil in our cars, cook in the kitchen. They're gonna let them out. Prisoners do not exist to change the oil in your goddamn car, Prater. That is not what it's supposed to be. If anything, prison is supposed to be about rehabilitation. It is supposed to be about job skills. It is supposed to be about being able to access education so you do not have to repeat the process that led you to prison in the first place. But this nigga over here talking about, I want them to change the oil in my car. It's a problem. It's a fucking problem. So there is, like I said, there's the video to go with this. We're going to try to get that up. But keep this in the back of your mind the next time somebody's like, well, you know, they have to do labor or it's a punishment. They, you know, like chain gangs are meant to punish you for what you did. No, it's not about reparations for the community. It's not about paying back a debt to society. It's about people who want to use free, low-cost labor for their own personal gain, okay? And, like, what the fuck is a debt to society any fucking ways? What the fuck does that even mean, right? So they'll be like, well, he owes a debt to society. Why? Like, if I, you know, if I were to rob my neighbor, break into their house and steal their shit, how do I owe society? I owe my neighbor. I stole their shit. I didn't steal your shit. I steal some nigga shit in Kansas. I steal some nigga shit in, you know, Tennessee. I steal some nigga shit in New York. I stole from my neighbor. How the fuck I owe society when I stole from a person? Like, that's bullshit. The entire fucking framing that when you commit a crime against one person, assuming it is even a crime, because, like, weed, really? Weed's a fucking crime? Come on. But assuming you did commit a crime against one person or an entity or a group, but suddenly you owe all of society? Like, you have to go fucking... I mean, think about this shit too, right? So, if you commit a crime, like a felony, or you're accused of a felony, you don't have to commit one, just be accused of one and charged with one, right? So you get booked at your local jail, and you have to work there if you can't afford your bail, right? And they're making money off you there. And then when you get convicted, you're gonna get a bullshit-ass sentence, and you might get sent halfway across the country. So explain to me how if I steal from my neighbor here, you know, outside of Chicago, in Illinois, how the fuck is sending me to a prison in Kansas, right? Or a prison downstate, we have one downstate, or a prison in another state and working on a chain gang or picking up litter or making Kevlar for the military so they can be safe while they go be terrorists and shoot brown kids in the face, or making handcuffs for police so they can fuck up more civilians. How is that paying a debt to society? Like, I don't know no niggas in Kansas. How is me working in a prison in Kansas paying a debt to society when I stole from somebody who lives next door to me? Like, the entire fucking framing of this is bullshit, and at some point we have to address that. I just wanted to hold... I wasn't even supposed to fucking talk about that for my tangent point, but shit be getting to me because it's fucking real and it pisses me off. And I just hate how blatant these lies are and people just accept these lies as truths because it's been, like, so spoon-fed. It's, like, common knowledge. It's, you know, it's just in, like, the national thought. It's part of the common knowledge. It's part of the language. It's the just general association. Like, oh, that's just what you do. When you commit a crime, you have to do the time and pay your debt to society. And nobody examines how the fuck making some billionaire prison owner money to make weapons for the military to use overseas is paying a debt to the person that you wronged. And getting paid fucking 12 cents an hour or some bullshit to do it. So, literally, you're trying to tell me the only way to pay your debt to society is to be a fucking slave for somebody else and for them to profit off your labor, and that's paying back society? Y'all need to fucking kill this capitalism shit. That is capitalism to the core. That somehow you're only doing right by making money for the 1% or for the wealthy, for the landowners, and for the business owners. They're not fucking job creators. They're not fucking sharing that wealth around. They're not interested in keeping track of the inmates, right? That's why it's called a fucking warden. He's the warden. He is supposed to take care of the inmates. And prisons run down, raggedy. Niggas can't get medicine, right? They refuse to put on safety protocols. Guards fucking beating on people. The food's fucking nasty. But you know, that's how you pay your debt to society. I hope that, you know, whoever the fuck is locked up in your state prison is making you feel better by paying a debt to you for doing labor that you'll never benefit from, you'll never see, and you'll never know about. But, you know, whatever. Fucking paying debt to society. I really did not mean to go on that fucking tangent right now. I didn't. But you know what? Shit just, it gets to me. What was I actually supposed to go on a tangent about? What the fuck? I'm pretty sure I actually had stuff I was supposed to do. And I'm going to play with the soundboard. Let me see if I can find a fun thing in here. Maybe. I don't know. No, I don't like any of these, actually. Mostly because I don't know what they are. So I'm like, oh, I don't know. Should I just click one? Let's see what happens. Why the fuck is that in the soundboard? What the fuck? Alright, I'm gonna stop pushing buttons on the soundboard. Alright, let's see. Alright, so I said William's working. I think I'm doing a podcast alone. What should I cover? Oh, Kuja said Rose McGowan. Alright, well, I think I kind of covered that. Briefly. Fallon said the bar stool thing. What is the bar stool thing? What? I don't know what that is. Becker said how to help POC communities with trauma and logistical triage from natural disasters and how not to. You know what? I think that's actually a really good topic, especially right now because there are so many natural disasters. And it seems like a lot of people just don't know what to do. And if y'all don't stop fucking giving your money to the goddamn Red Cross, I swear to fucking God, stop giving your money to the Red Cross. But people are like, you know, feeling helpless. Like, what do we do? How do we fix this? What are we going to do? So a couple of things is, first of all, try to get in touch with some local organizers, right? Not fucking FEMA, not fucking Red Cross, but like people who live there who are doing it. Like every area has their grassroots activists, right? Like I know that if, you know, in Chicago, if shit were to go down, I know that there are, you know, grassroots orgs that help LGBTQIA community. There are black orgs, there's indigenous orgs, there are, you know, women's orgs, there's men's groups too. Shit. Not MRAs, but men's groups. And so, which I find is good to go there because they can tell you what people need. And this is something that I saw a lot in Ferguson when I was down there, is that people really wanted to help, but they didn't know how. And so they did what seemed logical to them, but what seemed logical to them was not always like a good idea, right? So like people will be like, oh, well, we heard that, you know, like the local grocery store got fucked up, so we're bringing food. But they didn't think about what kind of food to bring, right? Like, you know, I brought food down too, but it was like important to be like, okay, I'm also offering like low sodium options because some people can't have that much salt. You know, non-perishable food items, right? And a lot of people, when they hear non-perishable, they're like, oh, what, fucking lima beans and shit? No, not just the shit you don't want out of the back of your fucking cabinets, but things people can actually eat, things that are actually accessible, you know, and hopefully healthy as possible. And so, you know, you really got to think about that. And so a bunch of people were bringing like bread and shit, and people were like, we don't want bread because it's gonna go bad, it's a perishable food item, we need something that can you know, like stay in a can or stay in a bag, right? Like people wanted canned fruits and vegetables and soups and stuff like that more so than, you know, like bread, because it was, you know, it went moldy, it went bad. Or, you know, fresh shit. People like, oh, I went to Whole Foods and bought you a, you know, a big bag of lettuce. Well, I mean, everything from Whole Foods starts to expire the minute you walk out the fucking door with it. Like, come on now. So, you know, if you've never been in a situation, either informed by poverty or by natural disaster or emergency, you might not have the best idea. And although you want to help, you shouldn't necessarily just go with like, this is my best option. Ask local activists what they need, right? And of course there are things that, are absolutely always, always, always needed. Like, menstrual products are pretty much always needed. They also don't go bad, you know, trying to give people access to medicine is important. If you are in a close to a vicinity, get everybody's fucking prescriptions delivered to one pharmacy and pick up everybody's prescriptions and then deliver that shit out. That is a huge help during emergencies. Also, running emergency preparation skills and sets. So a lot of people, when an emergency hits, like, oh fuck, what do we do? Because they're not prepared. Being able to prepare before the fact is super, super important. And some of the things that you know, go along with that is like trying to make sure everybody has a couple days worth of water. Everybody has at least a couple days worth of, you know, canned food or non-perishable food items. Making sure everybody has a little bit of extra medication, right? So that if shit is like really fucked up, even if you could get to your pharmacy might be closed. Like right now in California, I would imagine that there are certain businesses that are closed because of the fires, right? So you want to try to stock up on those things. And I think that it's important to not just, I know I've said it like four times, but I'm going to say it again because that's how important it is. You can't just show up and like try to take it over. You need to ask the people what they need, and different people will need different things. And another huge, huge thing is being able to offer emotional support and psychological support. A lot of people are stressed, they're scared, they don't know what to do, they don't know what's gonna happen, and they don't have anyone to talk to about it. You know, being an emotional support is really good. And I think that if you're gonna volunteer, you have to do sort of like an internal checklist with yourself, right? Like, what am I good at? What am I not good at? Like, maybe listening to people is something that you're really good at. So if there is a situation, you can offer your services, you know, hey, you know, you can text me, you can call me, you can email me, you know, and I can respond to you, or I can meet you in person, you know, and offer that kind of emotional support. And that can be, you know, what you do. If it's, you know, being able to bring food, then it's being able to bring food. If it's being able to get people's medications, then it's that. If it's being able to, you know, pick up people's clothes and help them with laundry, like, that's amazing too, you know? And I think that a lot of that gets, like, sort of swept under the rug because a lot of times the way these stories are covered is that it's, like, focusing on the really big immediate things. Like, oh, right now, you know, there's this huge flood and here's a picture of some guy carrying a baby away from a flood. And, like, yes, that's incredibly important. But we never ask about what happens next, right? Did that kid have somewhere dry to go? Did that kid have dry clothes to put on later? Did that kid have dinner that night? You know, does that kid have a blanket? You know, those kind of things. And I think that it's really important to focus on those, because in the long term, trying to recover from natural disasters, you need to have that shit, because it gets that hopeless feeling, right? Of like, okay, so I didn't have any food. I'm okay though, right? I have water. I'm gonna make it. And then it's like, but now my clothes are wet because there was a flood, and now I have to sit here in wet clothes and I have no food, right? And then it's now I have to sit here in wet clothes and I have no food, and I have no blanket, and I have no pillow, and I have, you know. And as things mount up, it gets feeling more. People feel more and more hopeless. They feel depressed. They feel detached. So it's very, very important to be able to address the little needs and the big needs, because eventually the little things become big things, right? It fucking, it builds up, right? And it weighs on people. And I think that a huge thing is definitely the preparation. I keep going back to it. And if y'all are on Facebook, you know, I have actually, I have a prepper group, I guess. I hate the word prepper, right? Like, there's a certain connotation around it, right? Like, oh, you're waiting for the apocalypse, or like a land war with China, or the race war. No, I mean, it's not like that, but it is trying to take steps to be more prepared for things. And, you know, like right now we're doing like a project a week to try to learn a skill that's valuable, right? So like right now we're talking about canning, so we're canning tomatoes this week. But also, you know, making lists of these are the kinds of things you should have in your house. This is how you, set up your emergency contacts. This is how you, prepare for this. This is how you prepare for that. And I think that those things are really important, especially as climate change continues, because it's not going to get better, right? The natural disasters are just going to keep getting worse, right? So we definitely need to take proactive community steps to get better, right? So we can have, like, if shit goes wrong, everybody meets at Linda's house, you know, whoever the fuck Linda is, right? Or if you know that this is a reoccurring thing, then this is how we can try to prepare for it. This is what we need. What, you know, and look back. What did we run out of last time, and build up from there? And I really think that we can make a lot of progress in micro communities that way. You know, I'm just saying. And I know, like, a lot of the stuff isn't necessarily, like, for people of color specific, but that's because a lot of times when these things hit, they hit in very similar ways across white communities and non-white communities as far as the actual immediate resources, food, shelter, clothing, fresh water, medication, medical care, those sort of things. And then I think with people of color in particular, it would be really amazing if we could have the signal boosting from white folks, right? Because it's known fact that when shit goes wrong, white people can crowdfund and raise money better than non-white people, because white people are just inherently seen as more sympathetic, you know? So definitely, definitely signal boost and help with the fundraising. That is a huge factor for rebuilding, for making sure things get there. You know, you got a signal boost and we need that. So that is my little thing about that. Let me see what Fallon is talking about. I wasn't gonna... Okay, so she linked me to a tweet. And let's see, she says, let me see what Fallon said here. The bar stool thing, specifically this is what started it. Then all these high profile sex workers were taking up for bar stool. All right, well, let's see what's happening here. I was missing shit, apparently. All right, so someone named Alika on Twitter said, I wasn't going to share this, but recent events have made me realize how important it can be. Sorry, I'm about to clog your timeline. I was offered a full-time 2-year deal over the summer. No-brainer. They wanted me to sign this. I refused. I ultimately decided I didn't want it, even if I was exempt from signing this. It said, I understand blank company is involved in the entertainment industry, and this requires a creative working environment, including exposure to offensive speech. So wait, they wanted her to sign a disclaimer saying, I will be exposed to offensive speech? Okay. Including speech that openly and explicitly relates to sex, as well as race, sexual orientation, gender, national origin, religion, disability, and age. Okay, so they literally want to offend people in the workplace. And then she continues, this is not okay. If you've never worked in the media, this isn't normal. I've never seen anything like it, neither have most people. The thing is, it's probably not even enforceable. It's likely meant to make people feel like they can't speak up if something happens. That's how these things happen. And then she continues. I'm trying to, like, go through her tweets here. She has a lot of fucking tweets. Oh, my God. So that was the contract they wanted her to sign. She didn't do it. And, Okay. And now, why are people mad at her? Are people mad at her? People are responding to the, okay, so she made the thread saying that they wanted me to sign this thing so they could basically sexually harass me and trigger me at work, and a bunch of people are mad at her about it, apparently, saying it's not fair for her to do that, and she's making a big deal out of nothing. Basically, they're calling her an SJW. Oh my God. Yeah, that's not how this works at all. If somebody wants you to sign something where basically you're consenting to being harassed, that is not conducive to a healthy work environment. You should probably not do that, if you can, you know. And I think that the thing there is probably in light of Weinstein, people are defending him, saying, well, that's just, you know, how Hollywood is. You should have known it was like that. You should have expected that. And it's fascinating to me how many people get conned into thinking they can't speak up about abuse or assault or something that's shady because they were told, like, this is just how your industry is, or you sign this disclaimer. You're not allowed to speak up. That's not true. You're always allowed to speak up. Oh my goodness. And apparently this is for a company called Barstool, and I want to see, like, I want to see some comments. So far, I'm seeing everybody who's helping her or agreeing with her. I'm looking for people who are trying to talk shit about her. I don't see anybody yet. But I will keep an eye on this and see. There might be more to it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Now here's one. Someone saying, but in the Weinstein case, those women were terrified and intimidated. How can you compare not signing a contract to that? It's awful. So yeah, that's what they're doing to her. I see. People just enjoy being really horrible humans, quite frankly. And I think people enjoy protecting abusers because they think it's going to keep them safe, basically. You know, people really fucking think that if you it's what, like throwing someone under the bus or throwing someone to the dogs? Like, oh, they'll leave me alone because I gave them another victim. Like, I'm safe and I'm in their good graces. And then everyone just enables the abuser to keep doing what the fuck they're doing because people are fucking horrible. Fucking horrible. All right. I think I'm almost ready to finish up, but I did want to read a little thing that Seth Rogen did. Apparently Seth Rogen is like very politically inclined or politically aware. I didn't know that. To me, he was just always kind of like the guy in the Frat Pack movies. But apparently he, I don't know, hates Trump and talks about it a lot. And Donald Trump's son was following him on Twitter for some reason. Maybe Donald Trump's son likes the Frat Pack movies too. So Seth Rogen tweeted and said, sliding into @DonaldJTrumpJr.'s DMs to remind him his father is a sexual predator, like... And then he put a screen cap of the private message he sent him of the DMs. It's going down in the DMs. Hey, dude, see you're going pretty hard at us Hollywood types. I agree, Harvey is a piece of shit and people should speak against him. But are you aware your father has been accused of sexual harassment by several women and even admitted to sexual assault on tape? Maybe you should denounce that. Just a thought, man. Have a good one. Also, have fun shooting innocent animals. What the fuck, Seth Rogen? I did not know Seth Rogen was like that. I didn't know that that's how he behaved. I mean, I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh, he's an amazing activist or anything, but I am definitely amused that he's behaving like this. I can't lie. I think that's fantastic. And I mean, I know it's funny. But it's also nice to see somebody is at least taking somewhat of an interest. A little bit. He had another one too, which of course I can't find now because that's just how life works when you are recording. Which I know I could pause it and, you know, look for it, but I'm not going to because I have to leave soon. And because I want to really, 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 really want to take a nap. I know, I'm whining, but I'm fucking tired, man. So, let me see. I don't think I have anything else left. I think that is the most important news I have for the day. I gave you a bit of a rant. Also, that group on Facebook I was talking about, if you want to join it, you can let me know on my profile if you happen to know what my, super low-key secret profile on Facebook is. Otherwise, you can let William know, and I can add you to the group. I would really like to get it going, and just much more active than it's been, which, you know, is me. I haven't been posting in there as much as I should have been, so I would really like to, you know, get that going. I think it's a great idea to share ideas of, you know, like, tips and prep ideas and things like that, as well as learning new skills. So I think that that is important, and I think that's going to become more important, not only because it creates a little bit of a community that you can share ideas with and learn from, but also because, like I said, climate change is real as fuck, and these natural disasters are only going to get worse. So if there was ever time to kind of get into, like, prepping or a little bit of self-reliance or learning, you know, skills of what to do in case of an emergency or a natural disaster, like, this is the fucking time. This is the time. And do it now, rather than later. So, yeah, let me know if you want to join the group. I will, you can hit me up on Twitter if you want, @UppityNegress, 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's. I talk a lot of shit there. Hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on Facebook. You know, you can hit us up at the, Wine Cellar Podcast Friends group on Facebook, and I can add you to it. So I think that is me. That is it. I'm out of here. I am done. I don't know when we're recording again next. Hopefully tomorrow. And then I know William had wanted to do some rapsplaining. He had thoughts. William always has thoughts about hip-hop. But he, I think, wanted to talk about that Eminem freestyle verse that everyone is just losing their minds about, one way or another. for better or for worse. So he wanted to talk about that. We will hopefully try to do that. We're going to attempt to do a social justice bullies episode on Sunday, I think. So hopefully that's going to happen. otherwise, just check out winecellarmedia.com. I've been keeping it updated and full of news stories for y'all. There's also Social Dissonance, A Critical Analysis of Justice on the Facebook. There is Reading on the Shade. Reading on the Shade. Yes, we are Reading on the Shade. Or Reading in the Shade. Whatever. Reading in the Shade on Facebook. And, of course, please feel free to donate at paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam or become a monthly Patreon subscriber starting at $5 a month. That is patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. And I think that's is all I got to say. I really want to push a button on the soundboard, but it hasn't worked twice, so I'm kind of scared. But this is the end of the podcast, so maybe, let's see, I'm going to look for a funny title. Bugs Bunny, Radio Donna. Generic, all right, something's generic, apparently. Continuous Country, okay. Social Justice Bullies, Long Opener, Attack Children, that sounds fun. Radio Compagni, I don't know what that is. Vibration, Fun, FG, yeah, you know what, I'm actually not going to do it because I don't know what any of these are, and I don't want to risk it. I don't want to risk it. So, that's maybe something I'll do tonight. I'm just going to fuck around with the soundboard and see what happens. In the meantime, everybody, please stay safe as you possibly can. Fuck police, fuck capitalism, fuck racism, fuck white supremacy. Punch Richard Spencer if you happen to see him. Live your best life. Smile. Hug someone. Find something to laugh at. And definitely punch a Nazi. Always, always punch a Nazi. All right, y'all, have a good night.